My mother, I live with my mother. She's 89, and her memory, her short-term memory is really gone. But it comes and goes, and it's absolutely fascinating living with her and engaging with her and with her variable mental state, because when I say her memory is gone, that's really only one kind of slice or one or a layer or one particular kind of memory, because it's her cognitive memory and her ability to retrieve certain things. Her visual memory is excellent. And her emotional memory is pretty good as well. It's been especially fascinating given that she's been a lifelong practitioner of the art of forgetting or of not knowing the things that she'd rather not know. Officially known as denial. She's got her own very good reasons for needing to do that and to live that way. And it's been most poignant in the last couple of years because my dad died in September 2011, so that's 2.5 years ago. And she's just now, well, I keep saying that, she's starting to take it in. She doesn't remember that. She doesn't want to remember it. She'd rather believe that he's somewhere, even though she never sees him. Which, of course, in a way, he is. He's still around. I've lived in so many different places in the
I live with
world
my mother.
that my
She's
friends
89, and her
are
memory,
not at
her
all in one
short-term memory
place.
is really gone. But it comes and
Of
goes,
course,
and
I'm not the only
it's
one who's been
absolutely
moving.
fascinating
My friends
living
have
with
as
her.
well.
And
So when I think about
engaging
my
with her
favorite
and with
people in the
her
world.
variable mental state,
Well, there's Mary
because when I
Springfels.
say her memory is
She's out
gone,
in
that's
New
really only
Mexico
one kind
now.
of slice or
She lived in New York when I
one
first
or a
knew her up
layer
on
or one
West
particular
113th
kind
Street. I
of
remember that
memory, because
apartment.
it's her
Actually, before
cognitive
that, I
memory
knew
and
her when she
her
lived with Lucy.
ability to
Lucy's still in the same
retrieve
apartment
certain
on
things.
Riverside
Her
Drive.
visual memory
Mary's gone
is
from
excellent.
there, a little further
But her
uptown,
emotional memory is
to
pretty
North
good as
Carolina. She was
well.
in Durham for a while, to Chicago for a long time, and
It's
now
been
look at her. She's out in the country and
especially
near Santa
fascinating
Fe.
given that
Little
she's
tiny
been a
village called
lifelong
Cerrillos, but she's up in the hills
practitioner
from
of the art
there.
of
But then another
forgetting
of my
or
favorite old
of
friends,
not
Dana,
knowing the
who I
things that
first
she'd
met
rather not
in
know.
Boston. But then she was living in Rochester, and by the time she moved to Boston, I had left.
Officially known as denial.
And guess what? She's moved to
She's
New
got her
Mexico as
own
well.
very good
And even to
reasons
the
for needing to
same
do
tiny
that and
village,
to live that
Cerrillos, near
way.
Santa Fe, right near Mary
And it's
Springfels.
been most poignant in the last couple of
And
years
then I like, it's interesting to
because
notice the order
my
these
dad
friends come up
died in
in.
September 2011, so
Fernando and
that's 2.5 years
Charles,
ago.
who I met when I
And
was a student in Holland. Charles is
she's
a
just
Dutchman. He's from
now,
Amsterdam,
well,
and
I keep saying that. She's
Fernando is
starting
a
to take it
Brazilian
in.
from
She doesn't
Rio.
remember that. She doesn't.
Finally,
want
at some point,
to remember it.
Fernando moved back to Rio. I saw him in Rio de Janeiro when I was on tour there.
Even though she never sees him.
And then later on, he moved back and he and Charlotte got married.
Which, of course.
30 years later.
He is.
And there they are living together in Amsterdam.
He's still around.
Some of my favorite people. I've lived in so many different places.
Oh
my
God,
I am so busy. I am unbelievably busy. How did this happen? It's about three lives at once I seem to be living at the moment.
My friends have as well.
And of course, so for the 10 years before that, my favorite people in the world, I was very, very free, almost too free. I sometimes describe it as composting, interior composting. So I guess I had enough of that. I needed it. There's no doubt about it. Just, I craved infinite space in which to follow myself around.
Lucy still in the same
still
apartment.
Do love that.
Visual,
but at the moment,
from
every
there,
minute
town,
of my day, every minute of every
North
day
Carolina.
Has at least five or six urgent things I should be doing.
She's out in the country,
especially you know, among those urgent things sometimes
little,
is
tiny
to rest
Cerillos,
or
she's up in the hills from there,
to do nothing,
but then another of
or
my favorite
to waste a bit of time,
Dana,
however I do that,
who I first met,
but still
Boston,
that queue, that lineup of things that I have
Boston,
to keep
left,
prioritizing is never
and
far away.
She's moved to New Mexico
and
as well.
You know what? I love that,
and
too.
Even to the same
it's very,
village,
very
Cerillos,
stimulating.
Santa Fe, right near
and
Mary,
I'm sure it won't go on like this
and
forever.
And then it's interesting to notice the order these friends come up in.
September 2011.
Fernando
so
and Charles,
and years ago,
who I met when I was a student in Holland. Charles is
she's
a Dutchman.
Now,
he's from Amsterdam. And
well, I keep saying that.
Fernando is a Brazilian
Canadian.
From Rio.
She doesn't remember that. She doesn't.
Finally,
want
at some
to
point,
remember it.
Fernando moved back to Rio. I saw him in Rio de Janeiro when I was on tour there.
Even though she never sees him.
And then later on, he moved back and he and Charles got married.
Which, of course.
30 years later.
He is.
And there they are living together in Amsterdam.
He's still around.
Some of my favorite people. I've lived in so many different
my
places.
Mother. Oh
in the
my
world.
God, I am so busy. I am unbelievably
yes,
busy.
I love it.
It's been
all
somehow that minutes. I've loved forever. And
about
this, the fact that this,
lives at once I seem to
how to get started is an improvised
well.
Piece.
And of course, so
definitely
for the 10 years before that,
drew me to it.
My favorite in the world.
I was very, very curious
free,
to read. I'm doing this partly for a research paper I have to write for a class. And in the course of the reading I'm doing,
there's no doubt about it.
About John Cage for that paper.
Infinite space.
I've come across already, just dabbling in the pile of books that I found.
I do love that.
That
but
John Cage himself was very suspicious
of my day,
of improvisation,
every day
has because
five or six
he felt
things
that what happens is we do what we know, what's easy,
you know,
what
those
is familiar, what we're used to doing, what feels good, what we like, and all of those things were
to waste a bit of
very much not what he was interested in.
Who I first met.
But still, that Now, cue, that line.
I agree that all of those are traps one can fall into if one wants to think of it that way. And I think that in my own improvisation, I've always been looking at the discipline of improvisation is not doing those things, not doing...
It won't go on like this.
Habitual, already known, safe things. Although at the same time, there's something about improvising at its best, which is involved with the Tao and with going with the flow and with taking the step that is right there in front of your feet. Going with the flow, like I say, finding the flow that is going to take me somewhere new. And of course, that's the way I want to live my life as well. I want to improvise my life, and I do within certain structures. Now, structures are really great for improvising. For instance, this particular one right now. Well, I've always considered myself good at languages. I expect myself to be able to pick them up. And it's always painful when I find out that I'm really not.
Forever.
But it's actually murder learning a new language. And I will never probably learn another language as well as I know. Well, I am... pretty much bilingual in French and English. I learned French when I was 15 and lived with my family in just outside Paris for a year and went to a French school. I went to the lycée and just at the right age where I was young enough to really learn it and old enough not to forget it. And to learn French the way a French child learns it, is they're very thorough about learning their language.
Because
and I learned Dutch when I was studying in Holland. I was only there for a year, and the trouble with trying to learn Dutch when you're in Holland is that all the Dutch people speak English so darn well that they'll speak to them in Dutch, they'll answer you in English. And I didn't really learn the language until I'd come back to the States. And when my Dutch friends would visit me, then they would be really eager to speak Dutch.
And I think that in my own improvisation, I've always been...
So my Dutch comes back if I need it. But then when I was teaching in Germany and had to learn German, so the Dutch got pushed way over to one side of my brain.
Known
and
safe things. Although
German is very
time,
difficult, and I,
there's something about
you know, I thought I could get by on the 1 year of German I'd had in school, and I limped along, and my accent was pretty good, and so people thought I could speak, and then
right
you just
in front of your
when you listen, I'm quite was quite good at understanding,
flow, like
but
say,
when it comes to answering, I become completely tongue-tied and start to feel like a complete
of course,
half-wit.
That's the way I want to live my life as
and,
well.
And now I'm learning Spanish, and I've sort of gotten used to the idea that it's not going to be easy, but it's still
really great
so hard to try and practice doing something
this particular one
when you can't
right
actually do it yet. Well, I've always considered myself one of my mother's favorite things
to
do is to look out the window.
It's always painful when I
find
out that I'm really
the best thing to look out the window is all the birds coming to the bird feeders. So that's become one of my devoted tasks is keeping those bird feeders filled up.
Well, I am
and
pretty much
we get lots of finches
I learned French goldfinches and purple finches and house finches, and then we get
lived with my family in
cardinals,
Paris for a year, and went to a French school.
Male bright red cardinal and a lady cardinal, and you get woodpeckers. The little downy woodpecker, which has a red head, and then the much bigger woodpecker that is
French, the way
our star performer also has a red head. Although he's not a red-headed woodpecker officially, he's a yellow, a red-bellied woodpecker, which is kind of interesting. And mourning doves and blue jays and cowbirds and starlings. And for some people, there's a sort of hierarchy of the ones that are special that we like more, and the ones that we consider to be bad birds. Which I don't really subscribe to all that. They're all birds. They all have to make a living. And in fact, some of the most fun to watch are not birds at all, but squirrels. The squirrels are incredible acrobats, and they have figured out how to tightrope upside down on the clothesline that from which the bird feeders are suspended from bits of clothesline in order to deter the squirrels, but it doesn't stop them. They can tightwalk upside down until they get to where the bird feeder is, and then they hold on with their hind legs and hang upside down until they can reach the seed, and it's just fabulous to watch. But even the squirrels are intimidated by some of the birds. So once the blue jay arrives, or even some of the other ones, he'll do one of his spectacular acrobatic leaps. And
so hard
he's out of there
to try and practice doing something this particular one when you can't actually do it yet.
Well, I've always considered myself one of my mother's favorite things to do. This one is
to look out the window.
Still the hardest to talk about. And hard to do, and hard to talk about.
Out the window is all the birds.
I've been doing a
bird feeders
project.
So that's become one of my probably devoted tasks.
An art project
bird feeders
called I'm Sorry.
Well, I am.
And
we get lots of
finches.
I learned French.
So holding a sign saying I'm sorry and sitting in a public space for 10 minutes at a time every day, supposedly. Haven't been doing it every day.
Woodpeckers. The
little. Well, what I thought I'd talk about today in this category is what am I sorry about?
Our star performer also has a red head.
I had a wonderful moment of insight a week ago or so about that.
Officially, he's a yellow, a red belly.
But if I'm going to say I'm sorry, my core, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, goddammit.
For some people, there's a sort of
what I'm sorry about there is I'm sorry I'm not perfect.
And
I'm a bit to be bad birds. Angry as well about how sorry I seem to have to be for not being perfect.
And in fact,
nobody's perfect. God damn it!
Some of the most fun to watch are not birds.
But I still
seem
to expect that of myself.
And they have figured out how to.
There are times when
upside down
I
on the
seem to just screw up all the time.
The bird feeders are suspended from
and
bits of clothesline.
So that's
deter the squirrels. It doesn't stop them.
There's a process there that I'm interested in following about not
feeders, and then they hold
pretty good at not getting too pissed off with myself, or so I think. When I drop something or spill something or put my foot in it, or
but even the
screw up in some way,
intimidated by some of the birds.
But to observe a bit more about
the blue jay arrives,
when are the days that I am doing
that?
Because there are other days when I'm just extremely accurate and really pretty deft. and in control,
actually do it yet.
So, when I was on the verge of moving home, I'd been living in Ireland for 10 years, and I had had in mind to come home and help my mom and dad in their old age so they could stay in their own house, which is what they've always wanted to do. And at a certain point, I was almost ready to do that. It was clear it was almost time. And I was really done being where I was, having all those oceans of space and following myself around
10 minutes at a time every day, supposedly.
But I thought I would take one more year and go for a long walk. My dream was to walk for a year.
Category is
just
am I sorry about
without too much of a plan, and with only as much as I could carry on my back.
About that,
you know, this is much easier nowadays than would have been historically with ATM cards and cell phones and. No problem with subsistence or with staying in touch. But I wanted to do it simply and to do it in Europe, where it's a very different thing from doing it in America, of course. There's an incredible network of footpaths, so you can walk in nature, and you can walk from town to town through woods and fields. You can stop and buy food when you need it. You can.
And they have figured out.
Stay in a bed and breakfast or a pub if you want to have a bath and stay warm. I have a tiny tent that weighs less than a kilo, and
so that's deter the squirrels.
Without, even if it's not officially allowed, you can usually find a discreet spot to sleep for the night and feel pretty safe. And I've done it for a couple of weeks in Scotland, and
when I drop something or spill something.
My dream is to go and visit all these far-flung friends and do it on foot.
But to observe a bit more.
I hope I still get a chance to do that.
When are the days?
Because as it happened, I got the message from both mother and dad that the time had come.
Extremely accurate.
I said to my mother, give me one more year. She said,
and in control.
I might not be here in a year. I'd never heard her say that before. So I just walked for 3 weeks, and I came home.
So, when I was on the verge of moving home, I'd been living in Ireland for 10 years,
and I had had in mind to come home. Now, another thing, and I guess it goes hand in hand with
in their old age,
improvisation,
in their own house, which is what they've always wanted to do,
which is something I've always been interested in.
And at a certain point,
is listening.
I was almost ready to do that. It was clear it was almost time.
I feel improvisation is a very
being where I was,
special form of listening.
Sitting in a following myself around 10 minutes at a time.
And I was,
but I thought I would take one more year.
When I graduated from high school,
go for a long walk.
I was the class valedictorian. I had to give a speech at our graduation.
And
I don't think they do that anymore at that school, but anyway.
And
the subject of the talk that I gave was listening, and how,
you know, this is much easier nowadays than
listening is at least as important as talking.
ATM cards.
And I think I went further in that little talk to say,
no problem.
They say it's more blessed to give than to receive.
But I wanted to do it simply and to do it in
but
Europe.
It struck me then that to receive in America, of course. There's an incredible network is as important as to give. There can't be giving without receiving.
And from town to town through woods and
in the same way as there's no use talking if there's not listening.
You can,
and I think that's been another
breakfast or a
lifelong quest of mine.
Want to have a bath and stay warm.
To just screw up it's not something we were brought up to do, to receive gracefully.
Without,
at the same time, the opposite is true for me, because my parents'
spot to sleep for the night
were phenomenally generous
and
supportive.
For a couple of weeks in Scotland,
really unconditionally so. Though it took me quite a long
to
realize that and to recognize it.
Far-flung friends.
And to receive without having to apologize or deny,
because as it happened,
or feel guilty about it,
from both mother
is somehow synonymous with grace.
I said to my mother, "Give me one more year." She said, "I might not be here in a year." I'd never heard her say that before. So I just walked for 3 weeks, and I came home. So, when I was on the verge of moving home, I'd been living in Ireland for 10 years.
It's interesting the order these topics have come up in. Random.
I guess it goes hand in hand with,
and of course,
improvisation.
Very logical,
which is something I've always been interested in.
So I wanted to think and talk a bit about ancestors.
I feel improvisation is a very
my most immediate ancestors being my father and mother, who I just finished talking about.
But I thought I would take one more year when I graduated from high school.
Of course,
go for a long walk. I was the
entire sum of my ancestors,
graduation.
My father and mother and their fathers and mothers, and all of those fathers and mothers, fathers and mothers.
The subject of the talk that I gave was listening, and how
the generosity of all those
listening is
at least people
as important as
in
ATM cards.
And
I think I went further in that little talk to say,
no giving problem.
They
life.
Say it's more blessed
to give than to receive.
And
what else?
The
DNA
struck me then
that gets passed down
in America, of course. There's an incredible network
is as
and
also
as to give. There can't be giving
the tradition, the culture that gets passed down.
In the same way as
the way those things interact with each other.
And I think that's been another breakfast or a lifelong quest of
the
mine.
Feeling of those.
Want to have a bath and stay warm. To just screw up.
They're not just long lines. They're
brought up to do to
long and broad networks
at the same time,
and
the
webs
is true for me because
of relationship.
Spot to sleep for the night.
We're phenomenally
generous
and supportive. Recent years, I've gone quite deeply into learning about shamanism.
Quite a long
to
realize that and to recognize
far-flung
it.
Friends. In a practical, experiential way,
and receive without.
We're encouraged to
apologize,
or open ourselves imaginatively and spiritually to
synonymous with grace.
The circles behind circles behind circles of our ancestors.
And in control. I might not be here in a year. I'd never
a long way
before.
Back into time.
So I just walked for 3 weeks and I came home.